Let me take the opportunity to welcome you this morning. We are going to receive a presentation from the department on the Eastern Cape Housing Corporation, co-ops, not one co-ops, and in particular the Amalinda Housing Corporation. And we also would like to get a briefing from about the status of the rectification program in Ducat informal settlements and the Ndlambe municipality and also Alfredonzo district municipality. And then on the fishers corner, I'm sure you received that there was a correction on that one. It's not a rectification. On the fishers corner is an issue of the land, a portion of land that was purchased for that community. And the land is at St. Albans, in St. Albans. So when the portfolio committee was in the Eastern Cape in 2009, we discovered that land was purchased for 7 years and it was not developed by the municipality, and it was purchased by Tuvelisha. And when we inquire to the municipality, Nelson Mandela, they said it's because of the delays was due to the EIA. And then they said it has been approved but with the conditions. And then we requested that report of the EIA. When we looked at the report, those conditions were not stringent. Those were normal conditions that are normally put there when they approve a project or a development. To say this development is approved, provided you are going to do 1, 2, 3, that is infrastructure development. Those are the normal situation. So we inform them that no, we are not convinced about what we are seeing. So want development from that one. So that is the agenda for today, and we are also going to the committee to adopt the reports that are before us. DG, I think I have to thank you on behalf of the committee, for the committee, during the period of the preparation for budget review report. We have never experienced that tension on that period. But you assisted us a lot with your mobile office. Your mobile office has done a lot for the portfolio committee to get the information. But we are still going to thank you officially that you did as well. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG and the team.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, members, for inviting us once again to your meeting to do these two presentations. We have the team that would be focusing on the Housing Corporation presentation in terms of the Amalinda Housing Corporation. We have Nodikwa from our national department who will take us through the progress to this date, but we felt that because the department at the provincial level was also involved, we have invited our colleague, Mr. Hai, also to make input on the same subject matter. So I will suggest, Chair, that we start with that presentation, and then the next presentation will focus on the rectification as per your agenda items.
Because we have got faces that we are not familiar with. We are familiar with you, Mr. Johan, and there are two faces. Can you just
yes,
can
so
you just quickly and the repeat? Can you just quickly make an introduction?
Okay.
Let's start from the member.
Good morning. I'm Gloria Borman, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Butch Stein.
Richard Mtarane.
Fatisa Bamugwanya, member of the Human Settlements Committee.
Doris Lavuta.
Adelaide Miss.
Keta Mabala Tor. Archibald Figler.
Aisi Mashishi.
Thank you, Chair. Our team, as I've already introduced, we have Mr. Julian Wallace, who's our Chief Director for Program Implementation and Support, who would be doing the presentation on the progress on the rectification. Next to Johan, that said, we have the lady by the name of Baliseng Magoa, who is a PA in the area of rental housing, who is with us today. And then next to her, we have our colleague from the provincial department, Mr. Khai, who will also be contributing on the issue around Amadeda housing program. And then we have, of course, Ms. Nodikwa Tembane, who will be doing the presentation on the same subject matter. And behind me is the veteran for this committee. Thanks, Chair.
Azoka Tia from PMG.
Chair, we are trying to get our presentation on the housing cooperatives.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, committee members, and good morning, colleagues. For the purpose of this meeting, the presentation is structured as this. I'll start with the purpose and the introduction, just looking at the role of cooperatives. The background, specifically focusing on the Amalinda project and cooperative, the challenges thereof that have been identified, and the possible solutions that the province is involved with. I have, DG, as DG has indicated, my colleague Mr. Khai, who will talk briefly on the provincial intervention on the Amalinda project. The purpose of the presentation is to respond to the question of the portfolio committee on the challenges facing the Eastern Cape housing cooperatives, specifically the Amalinda. As it is well known, housing cooperatives are very important and crucial in housing development. They have housed about 89,000 families in urban areas and 1,100 families. And these are legal entities which are aimed at delivering homes to their members on a continual basis. Yes, their role is fundamental in playing in delivery of housing. However, there are certain challenges that are being experienced. And mostly they are issues of governance and management to a certain extent, and I will reflect on this. There is one secondary housing cooperative in the Eastern Cape, namely the East London Housing Management Corporation, which was launched by Officers Copeland in 1998. There are about 10 primary housing cooperatives which are attached to this corporation, including Amalinda, with 1,000 members in total. Those are the name of the 9 other cooperatives. Amalinda Cooperative is one of the first housing cooperatives to be brought to the country in East London when Offices Copeland, East London Savings and Credit Corporation Cooperative and East London Housing Management Cooperative accepted an invitation to bring the cooperative housing model in South Africa. The Amalinda Housing Corporation was formally registered by 30th of June 1999 with a membership of 198 households. The majority of these households were unemployed or having irregular incomes. There were about 80% women, of which comprised the membership, and an average household income was less than 1,500 per month. They used the savings category, which was also based on their income, amounted to those percentages, starting from 30 rands to 120 maximum. For these members to qualify for full membership, they had to contribute 2,070, which would make them legitimate for a house. The total savings was that amount, 78,000, between 1996 and 1999. The first project was Amalinda Cooperative Settlement. Subsidies were received in 1999, and a total of 195, I'm correcting 196 to 195, of the housing units was subsidized to the value of 3,000, that is 3,200,000, that is the average amount. The Amalinda Cooperative Settlement Project involved these 216 housing. They are detached units. The key to this sort of subsidies was that it followed the PHP process using institutional subsidies. The challenges start with the approval processes. The first challenge was that a list of names of beneficiary was originally approved by government in 2002, and people were given time. About 55 of those did not save to the 2070 that was required until the final date in 2004. These were removed from the list by the corporation and replaced with new members. The corporation then asked the provincial department to remove the non-savers and replace them with the new savers. This is where the disagreement started, because in terms of the department, their beneficiary approval did not agree with that of the corporation, in that the department was using the housing code for approval of beneficiaries, and yet the corporation was using both the housing code plus their savings scheme, the way they save, which was not in the policy of the department. As such, they could not really remove or approve the new savers. They started a court case because there were these people who were non-savers who forced themselves to go to get the houses, where the corporation took the department to court. But this court case, the corporation was defended by the Legal Aid Board. And then the ruling was in favor of the corporation, saying that the new savers must be allowed into the houses. Now, the problem there was that those that were non-savers did not want to move from the houses. Now, there came the involvement of the province in terms of the dispute resolution, which Mr. Khai is going to talk to, and their actions of finding a solution on this ongoing allocation problem. And as I indicated, there were more non-savers that were moving whilst this was being taken to court and the dispute was going on. During the second half of 2006, Associates and Copeland and Buffalo City, as Mr. Khai will refer to, attempted to facilitate a process to find a negotiated solution to this dispute with non-savers. This process was unsuccessful as the 10 non-savers refused to move. The allocation dispute has led to a high level of dissatisfaction in the community, and effectively little progress can be made with many other aspects of the project, like completion of houses, because in that there are certain houses that have not been completed, and these houses need to be completed, but due to this dispute they cannot be completed. Also, the training of people that is supposed to be going hand in hand with the cooperatives cannot really take place on with the arrangements that are there. Also, the institution cannot really pay the rates and services of the municipality that they are required to pay. There are other challenges. The institution itself has declared a situation where they are saying they lack the funding, because at some stage they did have funding from the government, province, and the Swedish organization, but those grants were depleted, and so now they are relying on their membership, which the members are not paying the membership fee, so hence they cannot even pay the rates. There is no proper office space for them and the systems and admin support, which the admin support was offered by officers complain. As soon as they withdrew, there was no admin support, so they don't have admin support. Also, it is clear that there is a challenge with communication of both the program and the subsidy program to communicate to the members, or even what cooperatives mean and what they are supposed to be doing in terms of what is the concept and what they are supposed to be doing in terms of housing development. As I indicated, there's a limited understanding of the subsidy, and there's a challenge when it comes to the fact that PHP was used with institutional subsidy. There are no proper accounting systems, and certainly there is a challenge with property management and maintenance. As much as the plan is there, due to the fact that there is no proper structure that is there, and there's no capacity to manage the properties, there's a challenge. And also, the members themselves of Amalinda are not capacitated to deal with this. The East London Corporation was supposed to have, was responsible for property management, but also they were not capacitated. The possible solutions, the local municipality, Buffalo City, is prepared to provide additional land, and nearly to accommodate people affected by the allocation disputes, but on certain conditions. The Provincial Department of Housing is prepared to provide additional subsidies to build additional houses so that they can remove the non-savers. And it is from the side of the corporation, they indicated that the non-savers are prepared to save, so that they are allowed to stay in their houses. And some of the members have resigned, and it is felt like from the side of the corporation that these spaces can be potentially used to help the allocation or to resolve the dispute. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There are people who are laws unto themselves. In this department, I'm not referring to the community per se. I'm referring to the cooperative, the body. But yeah, I'm leaving that for the members to interact. Honorable Richard, Honorable Lagude, Honorable Stein, Honorable Bowman, Honorable Nisi, Honorable Stole, Honorable Fitlang, Honorable Mashishi, in that fashion. You are the last one. Okay.
I think that report is very useful. I think it's very honest. It's raising issues that we must really address. And I think we must thank your office, also the team that has presented the reform. And because I thought really this one was what was called something that was going to triggers real development on the cooperative sector, but I don't think the department concentrated enough the resources to this area. It seems was almost now becoming a dumping ground. Because in fact, the area that you are raising about governance matters, I think the department's responsibility. Whatever department, in terms of the governance structures from the local government to national government, I think there's non-commitment, I guess, that sometimes you're not committed to make this thing work. In my view, we are using this sometimes to justify why cooperatives should not work. Because it's a problem, because if we're able to set up a structure of ordinary people, but we don't even assist them with minimum training, let alone they're inviting, but minimum training, some resources for them to know how to govern themselves. I think to me they were set up to fail. And the failure was anticipated, in my view. It's not something clear that we can start. I think all these challenges that are put forward, but I think it's a problem that we should really be addressing and then learning from them. Because if also there's no communication, I think was a bigger problem that has led to no trust among those people. In fact, I think we're setting them to fight among themselves. And then given the fact that the cooperative sector, generally the general population in South Africa, I think it's a new idea, generally speaking. And it can be an old idea in terms of the Afrikaner's way of approaching matters. But I think the general population is a very new thing. But there are no efforts, in my view, that there was put in to ensure that the people succeed. And then as a result of that, I think the department, I think what they've done was just to retreat and side them as an example of failure. Therefore, we shouldn't pursue the cooperative sector in a manner that assists us to address the housing issue. Because I do think if we manage them very well, I guess they can assist us to provide real housing to our people. And then the training also for our people, I think is a serious issue around the governance issues and other matters. Of course, I think the point that Chair was raising just in passing, that there should be a system of governance on these areas. We wouldn't also have people really simply almost hijacking, anyway, in South Africa, people can even hijack minds. I just get that it's simply hijacking other rights of other people. I think to me it's a problem. It's a problem of really security and also ensuring that people, just in their bylaws, they are protected on that. I think I wanted that to make a comment, Chair. I didn't want to put any questions specifically, but just to make a general comment, because I really think that we are not doing well on this area. And then I'm convinced that this area, given many other experiences, I know that they failed in other areas, but they were. And then I think that Director General, you know that cooperative in Canada, in fact, they accommodate thousands of people. In fact, they are very successful anyway. And then we can sometimes decide to Uganda and other areas where sometimes they fail, but in other areas they succeeded. And then in my view, really, if we are not doing well on this issue, I think we won't be able to defeat, I think, the housing backlog, if the number is correct, 2.2, I think it's a big number. Therefore, a multifaceted approach or multi-pronged approach in terms of provision of basic housing, to me, cooperative can really assist us a lot. But also they build the community spirit. I'm not sure why they are so much reluctant to experiment this and the very innovative ideas. I'm not talking about Europe in 1970s, but the really new invention, innovation. I think we can really be making them. I wanted to make that comment, Chair, but there are some questions, but I guess some of them we'll discuss even with the Director General.
Thank you, Chairperson. The whip has already covered some of the my questions by his comments. I have this question here, Chairperson. In terms of women representatives, I'm satisfied about that. What about people with disabilities and the elderly? Doesn't that community have those people? Then my other question is, did you have a strategy that will allow those people to know how to save these 2,000
70 rands that is required for them to qualify as members of these cooperatives. Why didn't you provide for a grace period to give them enough chance to raise those funds? Did you consider their different situation as to how they failed to raise these funds before you kicked them out? Because we know that people like this, some of them have many challenges, and that might cause that might cost them their whole lives. In terms of property management, did you provide any form of training to assist them in keeping their properties clean and managing them accordingly? I'll give you a good example of an area where they provide such services. That is Cosmo City in Gauteng. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes, I fully concur with what the Honourable Dekani has stated here. So I'm going to go straight in with some questions. I just want to understand, you talk about cooperatives that have housed 8,900 families in urban housing and 1,100 in rural housing. Does that go from 1999? What would be the date that we're looking at there? From what? And then I want to be quite clear on this Amalinda project. We talk about under your background slide, Amalinda Cooperative was formally registered in 1999 with a membership of 198 households. You go to the next slide and you talk about the number of houses in the project was 195. I just want to see if these all tie up, or they're different things, or what are they. And then your next point, you talk about a settlement project involved 216 housing detached units. So what exactly, how many units are we exactly talking about here? And then also, just related to what Honourable Mdekani has mentioned, when the department, and there must have been an approval at some stage, would that not have been the point at which the criteria, because you say, you know, there seems to be, and obviously it's given rise because there doesn't seem to have been any clear direction. Was that not established between the department and the corporation, you know, right at the beginning? So that if I just have some clarity on that. And then perhaps just one other question I need to understand. The contributions, I'm understanding now that the members save and they make contributions. Now, some of those would not receive anything. Has there been monies paid over, and would those be paid back to people? I just want to understand the finances of that, especially if people, how do they save? Does that go into a special account and somebody manages that? I just need to understand it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I also agree with the comments made by Richard. In general, and then if I were in an examination room, I would have accused Member Bowman of peeking at my question paper here, because she's done my my questions. Chair, the question that immediately comes to mind, and it links up with what Richard said in the beginning, that almost right from the beginning, these sorts of organisations are set up to fail. Because the question that stands out for me, or the reality that stands out for me, is that people, they said here that most of these original people that were members were unemployed. Now, unemployed people, in terms of our policy, qualify for a full subsidized house. They should, in fact, not be part of this, of a cooperative like this, where they are expected to save. That is the very first thing that I want to raise. So they should not have been part, and you wouldn't have had a problem with non-savers, and they should have qualified for full subsidy housing. So the process right from the beginning is wrong. The second thing, and I want to emphasize what Member Bowman said in terms of 195 subsidies, but then the project involves 216 units. Now, immediately, once again, you're asking for problems because you only got 195 subsidies, but you're going to build 216 units. So where's the other money going to come from? You're setting up that project for failure. The other thing that stands out for me in terms of our failure collectively, this thing was started in 1999. We're in 2010, and we're still addressing the same project. We still talk about incomplete houses. We still talk about lack of funding. Now, over 10, 11 years, we cannot get this right. How do we hope to accelerate delivery going into the future? Those are the sorts of things that bother me, and we're still talking about looking for solutions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, Chair, I want to check this a slide, no, slide of pages, because I'm under challenge, Chair. Challenge is I'm a Linda Housing Cooperative. When you check on, there's no pages there. Challenge with I'm at, is bullet number four. Okay, let me check. One, two, three, page five.
Page five.
Yeah, page five. I'm just guessing there's no page there. Yes. The last one, bullet number three, the last one is. This process was unsuccessful as the 10 non-savers refused to remove out of these houses they had occupied, which they had occupied. What I want to find out, Chair, the current, what are they addressing now? Are they telling us that even now there is no processes because of this unsuccessfully or because of this refusal of members to move from those houses? And another one is they talk about that the houses were not completed because of some challenges, but we don't know if they are talking about that houses were not completed. How many houses which were not completed? Because they have to give us how many houses which were completed, which are not, and those which are not completed. And Chair, from the first time on their introduction, they talk about the cooperative have houses 8,900 families in urban houses and 1,100 in rural houses. I want to find out this gap, because if you are talking about the rural now, only 1,100 which families were housed, only 1,100. Why this gap? Because it means their focus is not in rural areas. But I know this Eastern Cape is full of rural. It's full of rural. And another one, Chair, is on page. No, what is this? I don't know this page. No, Chair, I'll come back.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Some of my colleagues here have covered me in some of the areas of my
So I just want to thank you for an honest report, because this will really assist us in moving forward, because these COPs are also assisting us in job creation. We're not looking for housing only. Also, we have to focus on job creation. So we need to do something so that these COPs can be able to function. It transpires that Amalinda COPs were not capacitated. So it shows that there was the planning of failure somewhere, somehow. So, because how do we expect delivery without any capacity or any assistance? No proper office, no space, lack of funding, no administration support. It really shows that there is a big wrong somewhere that needs to be corrected. So I just need to know who was really responsible to manage. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sometimes to speak at last, you are much unfortunate, because members have to do my question. I don't know where to start. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I think I'm going to sing the same song. I think we must talk about this. When it's time for question, you must first find out from the tail, not from the top. Because what is happening, my colleagues are taking all the questions, but I just need one clarity in the introduction, where we house 8,900 families and 1,100 in the rural area, and also another additional of 1,000. Now, I just want to find out, from when did we do this? Up until when? The second question is, there was BHP mentioned. Now, when you talk about BHP, it involves the community and the facilitator from the province. Now, I also fail to understand, where is the municipality? Did he also play a role together with the province? And then the last question is, when these people removed, those people who were removed were not qualifying for subsidies from the government. Because I know if you earn from zero to that amount, you're getting a full subsidy. Now, why did they need to do a savings? Because if you want to do a savings in BHP, that means you want a bigger house. If you look at 36 square meter, somebody say, I want 40 square meter, 42, then you must have additional. Or some of them, they already got a material, like the windows and the doors, then you can say you need to save 1,000 rands at least. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered, but I'll wait until Mr. Haim adds something so that I can ask a question. Thanks.
Thank you. I think the issue of the funding that has depleted, I don't want more today. We are going to reserve that, but you can touch it. In our program, in our agenda, BG, I think you have that. You have that, but we need more explanation about this Swedish funding. What is going on? Why it was stopped? Because we still believe that somebody has to account, and there's no one else other than the department. I was hearing the issue of NHFC, which is funded by receiving external funding. I wonder what responsibility does the department playing on that? Because at the end of the day, when conflict or dispute arises between NHFC and those external funders, it will come back to government. And nobody else is going to clear this cloud that is hanging over between Swedish government and whoever. Then I was not scared of anything anymore. Handle what government was in South Africa. But definitely touch and defend that would things as pale, but in details, say phone. Secondly, I'm worried because Transit is a funa eco ops. There's a funa eco ops that's the Eastern Cape. That in particular, I think times is long in the midlay. Because Nina Hava, you are reporting with 13 co-ops. Which means Eastern Cape has been so progressive. I see that program. Sayek, Tina. So the farmer and the month, because this department, we called the department, I think in August, Mr. Mapisa was here. And Wachu would know he's going back as the department. They will bring us a full report about the co-ops. And Sanendela Lula would let's take it province by province. So that in equals those puzzle would be province because we are aware. And I'm asking a question, if we did not call for this report of Amalin, because we are doing our research, we are doing our job here as this committee. We have got a lot of information about this thing, more especially about the Amalin. I've got quite a lot of money. But this is not a problem. I mean, what is going on? And we'll keep on. As in Ibiza, Nibo was good as in Ibiza, as in Ibiza, you just gas. Nibo was bad in Ibiza, as in information. But it's a funny Puma Pagun. Kala. So in Bamba, actually. So in Tora, actually, I'm not so, the question is, but we don't have to be able to see the lender as the challenge. But how does the CIF reporting the Eastern Cape? What is going on? We were dealing with the annual report. Nothing, all of us, 1998, the department was not taking any responsibility. Three terms, the third term, a co-quanto, which means that Zange, Kwakondo, Vaikatale, Linda, Bayama co-ops. Where do we start? What are you going to do with these people? So, if you want to get a solution, as soon as a solution, what you want to do next month, you want to send the government. Not quite the story. But again, I don't need to go on. This is very story, you know, there's a city. Got to consolidate in the sun is 12 Bangabantu. Ah, Babaka Hunmen, was in South Africa. Abanga Tatin doing. What are you doing about them? 270 million rands. And Gaza will spend the Eastern Cape. You were unable to spend 270 million rands. The last financial year. I touch my last of my provinces are selling that. City in it, Tina. TG, over to you.
No. Before I thought maybe Mr. Hai was going to add first before even the TG, because my question was going to be the information who have been given here. You do have another information besides this one. I mean you now, as the National Department. If you check on the Jolobe, has gotten more information besides this one. That's why, as I said, there were Amaljawar. Just wait until the Mr. Khaib and the Sasa more. Because we have information. And we have also information besides this one. National Department. Thanks.
I must
say,
you answer, but it's DJ alone. What did you lead the team? And this is to hire, and this is to take down the name. What did you also take the RSC city with the Lawahai? That is the procedure. That my toilet, for no good things.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the one that I was looking is on slide number, on page 34, according to this, yes, 4. When you check the challenge with
formerly the housing cooperative, bullet number 3, 4, and 5. The cooperative then asked the provincial department of housing to remove the non-savers and replace them with new savers. And then the department did not do this, as they claimed that the original list of approved beneficiaries must get a house. There is no cooperation between the department and this cooperative, because we cannot claim that the department did not do what they supposed to do, because there were claims and there were requests from the cooperative. So what I want to find out the status now, what is happening now?
Thanks, Chair. I think there is a report that after interrogation on this matter, we further decided to also interrogate our provincial colleagues in terms of the role that they've played. And that's why Mr. Khai has also presented the memo for the members, which you only got this morning, because we also wanted to give more information. And I will propose that we also get a provincial perspective on the matter, because some of the issues raised by members are also linked into the contribution that the provincial department can make, and then one will be able to attend to some of the questions raised. With your permission, Chair. Mr. Khai, please.
Thank you, DJ. Morning, Chairperson and the honorable members, colleagues. DJ, I think Ms. Nodeko has touched it almost all. But maybe I'll talk on the roles and responsibilities, you know, of the provincial department, of the Buffalo City Municipality, as well as the cooperative and Affairs Copeland. Unoligo has mentioned earlier on that this was a PHP project, an institutional PHP project. EBCM was a support organization. So we contracted with the BCM as a provincial department. We're supposed to have developed 216 units. But out of that 216 units, we managed to develop about 195. So there's a difference of about 21 houses that still needs to be completed. EPCM once again entered into an agreement, you know, with the East London Housing Management Cooperative. So there was an agreement between us as a department and the Buffalo City. There was an agreement between the Buffalo City and the East London Housing Management Cooperative. East London Housing Management Cooperative was a certifier. They were certifying all claims for work that has been done. There was also Affairs Copeland, which was a project manager. Affairs Copeland was appointed by a Swedish cooperative center. They were not appointed by us as a department, nor by Buffalo City, but by a Swedish cooperative center to sort of train the people on their roles and responsibilities, you know, what it means to be in this program, you know, a cooperative. What is their role and responsibility? You know, the issues of the savings that Nolibwa spoke about, you know, all those issues were dealt with by Affairs Copeland, contracted once again by the Swedish Cooperative Center. What we have done as a department, you know, out of having established, you know, that there was a problem on the ground, we were in 2006 approached by the Swedish Cooperative Center. They wanted us to resuscitate the project. There was a court case that took place, you know, with regard to the allocation that Nolikwa spoke about. There was a misunderstanding between us as a department and the East London Housing Management Cooperative Center in terms of how we are supposed to deal with the issues of the allocation. The department was under the impression, you know, that the housing code would determine the tone for the allocation of the beneficiaries. But however, the cooperative on that side had got its own statutes, you know, which regulated, you know, their program. And there was this saving that Nolikwa spoke about, you know, for one to qualify for a house over and above the housing code, one needed to pay a saving of about 2,070 rand. So that there was that misunderstanding. But unfortunately, you know, even the list that you got at that sort of enable us to allocate, you know, the same beneficiaries. We got that list from the cooperatives. So you can see that indeed there was a challenge there. But however, a resolution was taken actually that the matter be referred to court, and the court ruled in favor of the East London Housing Management Cooperative. So that's when now the Swedish Cooperative Center came in, you know, with a view of trying to normalize the program, you know, to take matters forward. So we met with the Swedish Cooperative Center on January 2006. We established a task team. You know, that task team was made up of us as a provincial department, the Buffalo City Municipality, FSS Copeland, and some members of the cooperative. Our mandate, you know, at this task team was to look at issues, you know, that affects the non-performance of the program, you know, the 195 vis-a-vis 216 units that needed to be developed. So we established, you know, that there were a lot of people, about 55 people, you know, did not save the 2070 rand. So obviously we had to deal with those people. We also established, you know, that there were people who were occupying wrong houses. We also established, you know, that there were people that were captured, you know, there were people that were captured, you know, on the HSS, which were not supposed to be there, you know, under the program, under this cooperative program, because they did not save the whole amount. We were also tasked to look at the operation of the co-op, you know, capacitate them, you know, that is beneficiary, consumer education only tenants. We also tasked to look at, you know, these people that were supposed to have been removed, you know, develop a plan for those people. So the plan that we had to develop, once again, you know, involved portions of land that had to be secured from the Buffalo City. So we managed to secure a piece of land to accommodate the non-savers, the 55 people. We also managed to look at how much it would cost us as a department, you know, to finalize the project, 195, to take it from 195 to 216. There is a deal of quantity that is attached in the submission that begins to talk about that. You know, if you want to finalize the project, how much it would cost, how much is there as we speak, because not all the funds, you know, for this project was utilized. There is a saving still for this project that still lies with the Buffalo City under our trust account with the Buffalo City. But however, there is still funding that needs to be sourced from us as a provincial department to sort of finalize the project. So I'm saying, if you look at my report, page 3, you know, there's a detailed bill of quantity that begins to talk about, you know, how much it would cost to finalize the project. There is no problem as we speak, you know, from us as a department to finalize the project, you know, the 216 units. But the challenge that we are experiencing, you know, is the question of invasion. Hence, we came up, you know, with a plan that says, allow these two processes to run parallel. Complete the 21 houses from this side, and then make a provision for a construction of 55 houses to accommodate the non-savers. But we're having a slight challenge, you know, with regard to this side, you know, of accommodating the 55 non-savers. We do have a parcel of land, but that parcel of land needs to be planned. You know, we are facilitating that process as we speak. But however, we're having minor challenges with regard to EIAs once again. So we are communicating with Environmental Affairs. You know, once, you know, the issue of a record of a decision has been obtained from Environmental Affairs with regard to the EIA issues, we'll be in a position to run with the ball with regard to the 55 houses. So we are going to allow the processes to run parallel, Chairperson. So we managed to secure a piece of land. We even managed to, you know, earlier on there was instability on the ground. You know, the non-savers were not talking to the actual people who are supposed to be on this project. So as a department, once again, we managed to have meetings with the people, you know, stabilize, you know, that environment. As a result, as we speak, you know, we took, say, 5 people from the side of the non-savers to be part and parcel of this task team. So that we can see what is it that we can do, to finalize the project once again. So, Chair, once we finalize the eye issues, we'll be in a position to finalize the project. That's what I can say at this point in time. We'll allow the process to run parallel in view of the fact that should we proceed with this, the completion of the 21 houses, we'll have the challenges with regard to invasion. The other plans that we're having as a department, Chair, you know, this is a complicated project, Chair. We've got people that have not saved at all. We have got people that have partially saved. You have got people who are not supposed to be there. You know, it becomes difficult for us to evict all those people because we don't have any place, alternative place, you know, where we can provide for these people. Hence, we are focusing on these 55 houses. Once we finish, the 55 houses, we'll allocate them to the non-savers. And then once again, we'll have to regularize the situation on the ground, you know. All those that are staying in houses that does not belong to them, you know, we'll have to manage that process. But what we have established as well, Chair, you know, is that there seems to be a leadership challenge. I know that, Chair, you are aware, you know, that with this kind of, you know, with the cooperative, you know, there needs to be elections now and again annually. So those elections were not taking place for the last 10 years. So illegitimacy of the board of directors comes to question. But we have managed that, you know, by telling the community that it would not be wise, I mean, for them to elect new members, because we interact with the board of directors. They do have information to a certain extent, so we need to have them, you know, being part and parcel of us. And the other challenge that we are having, you know, some of these people have told us that, you know, they're not paying rates for the project. You know, the second challenge that we're having, the people are not paying rates to Buffalo City, but we have spoken with the Buffalo City, we are trying to manage, you know, that, Chair. The third challenge that we're having, you know, on this project, Chair, is that, you know, most of these people are saying to us that they would prefer, you know, an ownership kind of a situation. But that's the major challenge, because I don't want to say should we allow that, but, you know, if they want to opt for ownership, it defeats, you know, the objective. It defeats the whole objective of the cooperative. We understand, you know, that the cooperative can go a long way, you know, in trying to address the backlog on housing development. But once again, we acknowledge, you know, the fact that, you know, there needs to be incapacitation, I mean, on a big scale. So I'm saying, Chair, we're managing all those processes as we speak. Thank you, Chair.
I find it very strange, you know, that it takes a decade to resolve a problem that started 10 years ago. And then, but we do have a department that's supposed anyway to be working on this matter on a daily basis, you know. Not even a department anyway, the Buffalo City, and then it's not Amsterdam. And then it's a very big city, in fact. I'm told it's going to be a metro. And therefore, it's a very responsible city, really, to have a problem for 10 years that has not been resolved, causing tension to communities, invasion of houses. In fact, it's very strange that people who are not even members of the cooperative, because surely, I think those who are members of the cooperative can't invade their own cooperatives again. Maybe there were strangers outside the cooperatives who came in to invade this issue. They were not evicted, because even this thing was alternative accommodation, I think that time, if people are in this place until these hours, therefore can't evict them without offering them accommodation. I hope Jobek, anyway, the Director General is dealing with this matter, challenging this judgment, because I think also it's a very good judgment, but also the problematic one, you know. But the point really that I'm trying to for 10 years really, Chair, having a situation like this, I think is a problem. In fact, it's not even encouraging that now they are resolving a matter. Because it's not really assisting us why this matter was not resolved for the last decade. Because otherwise it's a bigger problem, really, that we are facing if it's going to happen like that. Because I think it's a setup of communities and people are not elected for 10 years. And really, it's a very funny way, because I thought despite the fact that cooperatives are governing themselves in terms of their laws and everything. But we do have an interest, I guess, that the government got interest, that people are taking initiative to house themselves. Therefore, government should be regulating and assist them to build certain capacities on this area. But really, it's a very strange one, Chair. Maybe if there's no answer, it's fine. I just get that share, really, maybe in somewhere next year, if you are very kind, the team is very kind, just to visit again this area. And ourselves as members of, because we represent people. And then the staff, of course, is there to implement whatever we have agreed that it should be implemented. But it's really to interact with people on this matter. Because I do think that sometimes committees of parliament are a little bit detached from the real issues on the ground, precisely because we work as if you're an administrator. I was raised to interact with people directly. I think we should share one or another if the powers that be are kind to allow us to go and see really what is going to happen on this end. There is really a worrying factor because surely if you cite, but of course, Director General also, I guess that as you are going to be responding, I'm sure there would be one successful co-op somewhere in South Africa. If there's no single one, then we are in a serious crisis. I just guess that would be one very successful one. Lessons of that and the lesson on this, I think we can be able to move forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the department is setting people for failure here. Instead of providing guidance and leadership, here I'm talking about the people who contributed, who managed to save partially and none, and those who didn't save at all. There was supposed to be a leadership guidance here as to how to save, because it is difficult even for the DG to save, let's say, 1,000 rand per month from his salary. What about the people who earn little? How can we expect them to save? Because we survive because the banks manage to debit from our salaries. So how can we expect a person who earns little to save on his own? So it is a very difficult situation. I think here the department should have provided guidance. Then I'm also interested here on this material with 1 million rand which was stolen. And you mentioned here that there is no arrest made. Yeah, so my question here is that was there any material bought or there was none at all? Because I don't understand how can a material worth of 1 million rand disappear without trace. Yes, 1 million rand can disappear without trace. But I just want to know the progress made in this regard. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. My worry is on the time frames. When I check here, I don't see the time frames. They only just assume or whatever. And then again on page 2 on the process, progress. So there was a meeting convened, and then my worry is when I see the will, the will doesn't say anything. As I'm saying, there is no time frame, Chairperson. I think the department must just push and or it's not on hands on these people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shay. I thought maybe Mr. Khan would mention that there are those people who have saved, not partially, who have saved, but who couldn't get the houses. There was also the outside since then. Luckily, that's how we are still now. The department has got the information. It's a big one. It's not just the small one. I thought maybe when we were there, you were going to tell us those people, where are those people now, who have saved up to the last time, but they couldn't get the houses. That's why maybe we need to go there and as committee and find out exactly what's going on. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson.
let's try and wrap up. That is not the only item. Odalfa? Okay. Yeah.
Sure, just to find out what, if board members are there for 10 years, there is no way that they can change those board members for 10 years.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to emphasize one of my original questions, and it links to the last comment made by the gentleman when he said the people now want ownership. And that was whether we, in fact, at the beginning of this project, did we identify the beneficiaries correctly, considering that they were unemployed and they should qualify for a ownership of an RDP house. Now, linked to that, I also get the impression after the second report, I mean, a whole lot of things have been told there that the task team will do this and they'll do that, and whilst we're not getting any feedback in terms of what they've actually achieved of identifying those problems, but I get the impression that the sort of hope to resolve this is placed on getting this piece of land to accommodate 55 people. I mean, that's not going to be the solution. And just in terms of that, Chen, I hope it's a mistake here. There's in the second document, it talks there about the department managed to secure a piece of land to accommodate about 5,200 square meter houses. I'm hoping that's a mistake because that's not what we're obviously building. And then obviously I've got similar concerns about how does 1 million rands worth of material just disappear. I can understand money in terms of figures. It's very easy. But if the material, I get the impression the material was bought and it was somewhere. And it's just grown feet and walked off and nobody knows and nobody's looked after. How do we let things like this allow that to happen?
Yeah, I think, Gigi, this is the last response. But what it, another thing that is strange is over etiquette, there's no policy on housing co-ops. As members, we're raising the issue of regulatory regulations to the sector. No policy. It's even worse if the Buffalo City expects people who are earning 1,500 to pay rates. Those people, they have another indigent policy. They belong to the indigent policy. What government, what type of government do we have? So I think those are the issues. I think classes respond sometimes to issues. Senegas is guarded because sometimes we are exposing ourselves. When we are dealing with matters, not necessarily responding. Responding means responding to the issues. The manner we respond to issues on the ground, expect 1,500 pay rates. It's in the policy of the government about those people. Pendula DG, I don't know Pendula Zona, but the way forward is clear. We are not happy about this report. That's all. We are not happy. We are going to plan. But we are going to plan. It is unfortunate that we are in the mind of Kumbus. Liabilities of this department was our debt. And as soon as we are going to solve this problem. The issue of my environmental impact assessment. Committee. We have got a report. It's very interesting. Do we need the political will to this? Won't accept the issues just along the environmental assessment because aba bane tendency yokuqatha nge EIAs. Zikhona I critical areas apho kunama wetlands nentoni apho singathi kuthatha 18 months. There's no commitment ku government wethu if nina nisebenzisane ne-colleagues zenu, then nireporte kwi-political principal zenu ukuthi we have got a problem here. Yeah. Asazi banihlalelini kwethu department. Thank you. Responda, teacher.
Chair, before DG, I'm trying to make a request here. I think it's a norm and standard that is happening. We're getting presentation the day we come to the meeting. Can't we get the documents at least, even if it's 3 days before, then we can peruse it? Thank you, Chair. I just want to make a request. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I apologize for that, member. I think after engagement with the provincial department yesterday, I felt it was necessary that we bring this one today. So I'm sorry that it took time, but after engagement departmentally, I realized that we need to engage provincially as well on this matter. My apologies for that. Otherwise, we're trying to make sure that documents are submitted at least 3 days in advance before this meeting. Chair, it's very difficult to respond on this particular matter. The only principle I accepted after going through the detail of it was that we need to be as honest as possible on this matter. Suffice to say, not only this project, Chair, in the sector, the issue around project management capacity remains a critical area of strategic focus for this sector. And if nothing is done about it, Chair, we are heading for disaster. That is why we are sitting here, I'm talking outside of this matter, looking at other issues, with a number of projects in the sector, shoddy houses, poor workmanship, and hundreds of projects that have been started never been completed or never been closed officially and properly handed over as closed projects. Chair, I've just had a technical meet-make with SODs. A similar challenge has emerged. This is just one project. I think departmentally I've taken a decision that I will have to establish a unit that deals with projects throughout the country and a very effective monitoring and evaluation mechanism at a national level. As it stands, it is so disjointed. You can't get information. The systems can't give you the information that you need on critical projects. The HSL system doesn't register all the projects that we currently manage. But at the core of it, we have a situation of a lack of capacity on project management capacity. Now, that's a critical component of this sector. If we can't get that right, then human settlements must cease to exist as a department, because that's the core of what we do. Everything that we do is project-oriented. If you can't get projects management units throughout provinces, people who are not doing anything except to manage projects, because from a planning perspective, you know when the project starts, you know what resources are required for the project, you know what training capacity is required for the project to be effective, you know financially what needs to be done, you know what material is needed, and you know when the project must end. So from step one to the last step, when the project is complete, you know that in 2 years' time, this project should be completed if it is followed through a normal project management cycle. Now, in this instance, as the member was raising, how does it happen that a decade later you realize there's a problem? Because if there was a proper management plan cycle, it would have reflected from step one that in the next 2-3 years this project would have been finished. If not, there's a deviation from the project plan, you will then be able to explain why there's a deviation, whether it's resources, whether it's capacity, whether it's finances, and then what needs to be done to fix that, and then close the project a year later. Now, I think we've got to get into that mood or into that cycle as a department and say, for every project that starts, give us a project plan. When does it start? What is required? Is it bulk infrastructure? Where will the money come from? Right now we're sitting with projects incomplete because there's no bulk infrastructure. But how do you start when you have not identified where bulk infrastructure will come from to finish the project? So don't even start until you have raised. So I'm trying to say this department is project management based. Anything that we do needs to be managed from that philosophy. If you can't get into that cycle, we are going to be sitting like this every now and again, dealing with one and the same thing and never get resolved. So I'm going to make it, Chair, my responsibility, once again, to make sure that we begin to focus on this particular key area of capacity for all projects. I don't want to try and explain each and every aspect of what has been raised. All issues raised by members are centered around poor project management plan. If you can't get that right, if you fail on the first step, don't expect the third, fourth step to be right, because it's a scientific approach. The first step must be right. The second step, all steps, if any step gets affected from capacity, don't expect the good results at the end of the project. So I'd like to establish that unit. It's going to require capacity, resources, skills, but without that effective unit operating effectively at national level, and make sure that throughout the province every project is recorded and monitored, we are not going to get anywhere. And Chair, I can assure you, you are still going to be surprised and wait for that surprise when we present here about the challenges we are having with projects on RDP and other projects we have started 10, 15 years ago. I had a meeting with KZN HOD. Some of them are going to be removed from the system, because they've been started, never completed, contractors have disappeared, and so forth. So there are serious challenges. It's around project management plan. Now, who was responsible to monitor that project from the beginning? Some of them are not even enrolled with our institution to make sure that there's quality assurance. And how have they started to a point where people disappear with millions of friends when those projects are not recorded? So the sector, without that capacity, cannot succeed in anything that we're doing, because we're not a department that deals with matters of operational issues. We're dealing with projects here on daily basis. So that capacity becomes central in everything that we do. So I wouldn't like to go into all of this. This project was terribly managed, with all due respect, badly managed from the beginning to where it is right now. We'll try and fix it using a proper project management, because even if we start it now, we need to know what do we do from now until it's complete, and manage it in that particular version, and report back to you that we are now on stage 3, we are now on stage 4, these are the challenges, we require these resources on an ongoing basis. All the issues raised are correct, I agree. Thanks, Chair.
Because you're talking my language now, I just need a follow-up question here. And I think way back when you first came in, you heard this song, "How long are we to spend making plans?" Now, I like the passion with which you're talking about setting up this unit, and I think it is critical, this project management, to be able to oversee. My question to you is, and you've obviously had a time to think about it, you're not just thinking about it now, what is the timeline? Will it happen in our time? Before our term expires here, are we talking about this year, next year? Give us that, then we can monitor that as well and say to you, DG, you promised to set up this project management system thing. Where is it?
Chairperson. Yeah. I just want to thank the DG for his approach on this matter. Yes, Chairperson, if I may remind you, we agreed in our portfolio committee that there must be clear instruction to the provinces that all contractors or all projects are enrolled with NHBRC to cut the costs. So I'm a little bit worried about contractors who did shoddy works in other provinces, then now they've come to other provinces. I have one clear example. That is a big contractor now. It is from Mpumalanga. Now it's in Joburg. And people are complaining regarding the houses they built in that area, the area where I come from.
The contractor was
I'll do that, Chairperson. Gusile. Gusile Africa, what? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't say much. I just want to say this report really serves as an eye-opener to us that a maximum force is needed to push some of the things. Otherwise, if we are too lenient to some of the wrongs, we'll end up nowhere. That only makes the problems to escalate. It shows that there is a disjuncture somewhere. Thank you very much, DG. Absolutely, we needed that project management, and we are looking forward to that. We'd like to thank you in advance. Thank you.
DG, to make a time frame. Always to be make a soy, chocolate lento. Before see a straight plan, we will present a straight plan. God, 2011, 2012. What you need, we need to meet. And then you come up. Before we adopt that, indicate what are the key areas as on monetary shadows of 2011, 2012. I think this is one of them. And the unit where you're from, one family say you stayed up from the first so that the world was open and a budget. But they will not respond back. But it's not a pretend.
Thanks, Chair. They say the wheels of government normally moves very slow. And we are trying to turn that particular phrase. The intention is that for the next financial year, we should be operating on a much more structured structure that deals with the challenges we've identified. I can give the committee the assurance that in the next financial year, we'll be working on a modified structure. Unfortunately, you need DPSA to approve certain things. At a national level, there is no scope for this unit. And you wonder, how then do you have a very effective monetary mechanism at a national level if you don't have a unit of this nature? You do have people doing monitoring evaluation in branches, but I want this unit to be operating from my office so I can account appropriately. So the PMU does not exist as a unit in the department, and I would like to factor that in. This is just one area, and many other areas where in terms of our new mandate, as I've explained before, in terms of outcome 8, we need to make changes and incorporate our structure to talk to those things. Our structure is not talking currently to those critical areas. I can make the commitment, Chair, that in the next financial year, because we'll have to budget for these things and factor them into the budget, these things would have been factored in. That I can assure the committee. Thanks, Chair. It's a worrying presentation, Chair, to take. Okay. All right, Chair. Thanks. Baby.
Thank you. Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
What is your name? Are you meant to what?
I'm writing a report on the meeting that we put on the website, so that all the reports on all the meetings are on a website that people can go read what happened in the meeting.
Oh.
But sometimes it gets difficult if there are so many people and my list seems out of date. So then people speak, and I'm, especially now I'm looking at the back of their heads. I don't see who's talking and saying what, and I have to say, Mr. This and this said this, and then I'm like, who are you? Yes.
Requested, I will be presenting on
a number of projects, the first one being Ducats in East London. There are three rectification projects currently running in Ntlambi, and five projects in the Alfred Nzo municipality currently. As you indicated when you opened the meeting, I will also give some feedback on Fitch's Corner in Nelson Mandela metropolitan area. Chair, the information that I will be presenting to the committee was obtained from the province because of the fact that they are primarily responsible for the management of these projects. As the DG has indicated, currently the National Department does not have the resources to monitor the 8,000 odd running projects which are currently going on in the country on a project by project basis. So we often have to rely on provinces as part of their primary responsibility in the implementation of projects, also to feed us with information. The first project that I'd like to bring to the committee's attention is the one Ducats in East London. The project was approved for 625 stands, of which 536 units need to be rectified. No units have thus far been rectified. 75,000 rand has been spent on the assessment report. The assessment report, Madam Chair, contains an evaluation of each of the 536 houses, what needs to be done to each and every house, and what that would cost. The assessment report points out that this project will cost 2.88 million. The municipality is the developer in this instance and has already appointed a contractor to start with the rectification work, and the project is envisaged to be finalized in the 11-12 financial year. The next project, the next three projects are all in the Ntlambi municipality. The first one being Alexandria, called Wenzel Park, where 377 units need to be rectified, of which 157 have already been completed. They have spent 8.5 million on this project already. Currently, 220 units have not been completed. 100 of these are almost finalized. 80, according to the province, are at various stages of progress or completion, and 40 units have not been started with. The total cost of this project will be more than 22 million. In this case, Madam Chair, they have to demolish a number, if not all, of these houses, and temporary structures for this project are occupied, have been occupied by households which are not the formal beneficiaries. So there is a challenge in this case, but according to the province, they are going to complete this project by mid-December this year. Kenton on Sea, the total project was approved for 313 units, of which 300 need to be rectified. No rectification has been done because the procurement process is currently underway. The assessment report has been completed at a cost of 76 odd thousand rand. And it is estimated that this project will amount to 5.4 million in terms of the rectification of the 300 units. Marcel, correctly, this is close to Kenton-on-Sea. The size of the project was 199 units. All of these units need some rectification work. Once again, the assessment report has been finalized in terms of the 199 units. Estimated amount, 2.7 million. And once again, the procurement process to appoint a contractor to undertake the rectification work is currently underway, and it is also projected that the project will be completed in the following financial year. In the Alfred and Zor municipality, as I indicated, Madam Chair, there are five projects. First one being Mount Aleph 700 with the 700 units, of which all 700 need to be rectified. Some work has been undertaken in this project. 135 units have received attention in terms of their foundation, 115 up to the wall plate stage, roof covering is 47, and finishings on one unit thus far. The amount already spent, 7.4 million, and 39 million has been allocated for the total project. According to the province, this project will only be completed in March 2012. Mount Freer.
Don't skip that one. Appointment of another contractor. Okay, before you ask any questions.
Yes, I missed that.
Can you talk about this?
A contractor was appointed who undertook some of the work. Apparently, this contractor also did not deliver work of a satisfactory nature. I don't have that, but I can get that for you, ma'am, and come back to the committee on that. That contractor had to be relieved of the contract or fired, if you will, and they are in the process of appointing another contractor. Madam Chair, I'll have to get that information for you, and I'll come back to you, to the committee on that. Mount Frey, 341 units, all 341 need to be rectified. Once again, progress has started. As indicated in the slide there, foundations 110, wall plate 7, roof coverings 37, finishing 6. 18 million in total of the project. I suspect that this is exactly the same contractor as the previous case, who's also being replaced on this specific project, that the one contractor got both tenders in Mount Aleph and in Mount Freer, but I cannot vouch for that. That's a suspicion that I have. This project, Madam Chair, is also scheduled to be completed in March 2012 only.
Can they indicate to you when we are going to appoint
one and the same contractor to deal with those projects, all of them, as they do?
Okay, continue.
I will follow that up for you, Chair. Cedarville, 201 units, all 201 need to be rectified. No assessment. No units have been worked on thus far. The assessment has been completed, and the province is busy preparing the tender documents to appoint a contractor to do this work. The province did not indicate to us what the amount is, what the cost of this project would be. But in terms of the assessment report, it is envisaged that the project would be completed by June 2012. Harry Gwala, 1,110 units, all of them need to be rectification, will need rectification. The assessment report was extremely expensive, 2.6 million. I suspect that was because of the number of units, number one, but also because of the extremely poor workmanship, where the people who did the assessment had to go through each and every house and try to assess what needs to be rectified. So it became a very, very expensive report, unfortunately. We also still do not have the expected amount of what it would cost to rectify all of these units. Once again, completion date envisaged for June 2012. Matatiel, 306 units. None of these have been rectified. This one has been completed, Madam Chair. According to the province, the project has been completed. They've spent 3.9 million on the project. That is in terms of roads and stormwater rectification, which has been completed. The planning for the top structures has not been done yet. Apparently, the infrastructure services were of such a state that they had to be redone. It was then decided to do that first without the top structures. That was done at a cost of 3.9 million. And the top structures have not received attention yet. Fitcher's Corner in Nelson Mandela, as you indicated, just opposite the St. Albans Prison, 21 hectares, purchased by Tubelisha in 2002. The EIA, which was approved, apparently had to do with stormwater management. The municipality has now indicated to the Provincial Department of Environmental Affairs that they have complied with the restrictions and or the conditions, that they are now awaiting from the Department of Environmental Affairs the final approval of the EIA so that they can go ahead. The bulk sewer and the bulk sewer pump station has already been installed for this project, which, by the way, will be able to accommodate 600 households. The land now has to be transferred from Tubelisha to the municipality, and according to the province, this development will now commence as soon as the approval from the Department of Environmental Affairs is received with regard to the EIA. Madam Chair, that then concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Johan. Hi. You touch Alfred, though you touch me, unfortunately. That is my constituency. But I'm going to leave.
Next time I'll bring the province along for Alfred and Zoom, Madam Chair.
I am going to leave it to the members, and I will tell you the truth of the matter. Honorable Fidlan, Honorable Stole, Honorable Bam, and so on about it. Die, Honorable Bam, Mugwanya. Honorable Doris, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Stain, you are the last one. You are the last one. Yeah, you are the last one. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, there is lots of questions that I want to ask,
But I think I must first applaud for the DG, although he undermines himself. Because I'll tell you one thing. This Human Settlement Department, nationally, they've got the people who are overseeing things from the provinces. Now, I think the province is supposed to answer to you, DG. If these 3 spheres of government were working together, from the municipality, can also give information, or if they're struggling, they can talk to the province. Now, if the province is suffering, then they can talk to national. But nevertheless, I support the PMU to be in the national office. The issue that I want to ask Chairperson, this province is very vast. Now, there are places that are not mentioned. I'll give you names, DG. In the Eastern Cape, where Ilinge, we went to visit Ilinge. There is no mention about Ilinge here. There is no mention about Ikala, Yuki, Tagastad, Maclear, and Elliot. Those places are in my heart, and I always pass those places each and every year. Now, maybe this was done deliberately, not to talk about them, but you must also include them, because it's one province. And there's an MEC, maybe next time when we're having reports like this, the MEC for housing, for human settlement, must also be here. Then she can account. Now, the other issue is those houses which were demolished and rebuilt, because there's no mention of them. It's only one that was mentioned. Now, I'm talking about more than 1,000 houses that need to be demolished in Gala. I'm talking about houses need to be demolished more than 500 in Tagastad, where the province is now building houses next to those houses that are need rectification. Now, we are wasting a lot of money. That is the taxpayers' money. And the second issue, DG, that through you, Chairperson, that I want you to look after. In the Eastern Cape, they're just building houses for the sake of building houses without any beneficiary list. Now, they have to look if really the people need those houses before they build them. Otherwise, the money can go through roads and whatever, can be relocated and do a better thing. Thank you, Chair.
I was there. Ndithe aba bantu base sibathathe kancane kancane. And senza ngabom. Yabona uDJ uba kafundanga namhlanje uba kufuneka inzeni beno minister nge Eastern Cape. Ngeke ngiphinde nifunde. I'm telling you. We have got the administration. Ibise Eastern Cape Section 100. Go 2006. Kwakho intervention. 2009, 270 million yathathwa. Ibisenza la and in intervention team there. I think we Eastern Cape come as it take over je, Iranian national because it, but again they are preempt. Members, is that?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, this report is just showing us that Eastern Cape is in disaster. We are facing with the problem in Eastern Cape. Because, Chair, even the report, it doesn't talk to one another, because if you can check here, on they talk about that the Matadiela have completed 306 houses. But when you check again, when the project is supposed to be completed in 2013, on March 2013. But their project is supposed to be completed in 2012. All their projects are supposed to be completed in 2012. But this one is for 2013. But they say they have completed 306 houses. Chair, I think they have to tell us actually what are they saying on this. And another chair, they talk about the ratification of this, how many units have been ratified on Centerville. What is Centerville? Centerville. How many units have been none assessment completed, but they say it's none has been the assessment is none of has been completed, but again the target is June 2012. but there's none, no assessment completed on the one. Okay, I think we have to. My proposal is that we must have the Department of Housing, national and the provincial, especially the provincial, because they have to answer. There is nothing that has been done in Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. It appears as if we are coming to the same problem of the disastrous situations that appear to be happening on the ground. If it wasn't for the fact that the GG has promised that he will set up a PMU in his department, then one would go away here with a lot of disgruntlement. But as it is, I hope the DG sees how much faith we are pinning onto his anticipated PMU. Having said that, it appears as if also there is no accountability, no sensitivity of the waste incurred. It looks like things are allowed to go haywire. A lot of areas have been omitted, as you have ruled, Chairperson. We shall not go onto those areas because they are not on the program apparently. But care should be taken that those areas be visited as well. I also want to find out what has happened to the previous operators, because we have been informed that these people are going to be called to book. How many have been made to account, and what has been done about them, and in terms of how much has been collected from those people, and what is their future? Also, has it been investigated as to whether the assessing contractors have no connection with either the previous operators or the subsequent operators? Because sometimes you find these people coming to projects to condemn them and cause them to be rededicated, and yet they are the ones who are causing the problems, they are the ones who are doing the assessments, and that they are the ones who are going to cash in again on these projects. It has happened, we have got decided cases on those, but this is not the platform for them. With the fear of swallowing everything for everybody, I would like to step down for a while.
Thank you, Chairperson. My concern with the Eastern Cape is that, Chairperson, before they come to present in this committee, oversight must be done so that we are sure of what they are talking about. Because it seems as if they are giving us a report that was given to them in their offices. Number two, Chairperson, why are they appointing one and the same contractor to do this rectification program? Because we are now rectifying the rectification program. So it's waste of government money and time. Number three, Chairperson, what are they doing with these illegal occupants of these houses? Because it came out in this presentation that there are illegal occupants of houses. What are they doing about that? Then number four, why are they taking long time to do this rectification program? Because the resources are there, the money is there. So why don't they go to the NHBRC and that contractors who are enrolled in that program? Then, with the Matatiele issue, I don't understand, Chairperson, the 306 units. They mentioned 306 units, and they also mentioned the roads and storm drainage. I think that is dealt with by the Department of Transport, not Human Settlement. There was no need to mention to us the roads and storm drainage. I don't understand if this is part of this department. What is the program of the department? They said here they've completed everything before the time frame. This is really... Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also repeat to the GD through you, Chairperson, that there is a big wrong somewhere that needs to be corrected. Because the National Intervention Team was there, but still, there are problems, and problems are escalating. Nothing has been done. There are still the same challenges, incorrect beneficiaries occupying the houses, appointment of new contractors. Where are the previous ones? In the issue of that Matatiele issue, that the project will be completed 2013. Why 2013? It's 2010 now, 2011, 2013. Only the top structures. I'm not certain about that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks.
On the issue of EE oversight, this portfolio committee has been to the Eastern Cape last year in October. Ne? In October. We are making a follow-up on the progress that has been made so far. That is the report that we are getting, the type of the report that we are getting. I don't want you to respond. I was assisting you to say, if the portfolio committee can visit a province and identify challenges, the national department was there, the provincial department was there, the municipalities were there, Sasa Kichimanabo, stop by stop. That is the kind of the report that we are receiving. What do you want us from the portfolio committee to do? That is why we have to make a strong recommendation that we don't have a province there. That's all. Okay, what are
we leading the appeal? We could be there. DG, who were there, the report we are getting from you, I don't know whether we must interrogate this report or what must we do, who were there. So unfortunately for you, you were not there. But now we are giving us a report. They are giving us the report. I don't know whether we must ask you any question, because likely for the presenter, he's going to come back to tell us something which we know. I don't know whether we must waste the text man and said he must come back to us. I've got a suggestion. Yeah, I've got a suggestion, because we were there together with the acting DG then, the band. We were together, they were in Zabar. He said no. The very NHFRC, which we supported to look after, that's the one. Because that's the one who was doing the repression twice. The very one. Why are we paying the NHFRC? Because the contractor was building the Manfred, Mount Elif, Matete is one. It's from you. I mean, we better than that, but he teaches us today. Yeah, it was you. Same contract. Montre, Mount Elif, and then Matatiera, same contract, all over his system. And Flagstaff, same contract. Where are we going to? But I've got several suggestions that maybe to satisfy yourself, whether it's a weekend. We are prepared to sacrifice those people who are from ECTK to take you to this place yourself. Besides them reading the papers, you go to this place. We'll take you there, and then we'll take you from airport, and then we'll take you. Here is this one. Here, maybe you will be more informed. So, because here I've got some photos with me. I'll give it to you. I'll give you here this bag. I'll give it to you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm probably going to repeat some of the issues said by my colleagues. And I'm not going to address every one report. I'm talking about general, because there are issues that
like to know, because I think we got a report in the past that said the NHBRC went across the country to do an assessment. So I'd like to know, the ones that we are talking to about this morning, was the assessment done by the NHBRC? And generally, when was it done? I mean, how long ago is it? Because I'm a bit concerned when we are given dates about completion, we are given estimates. If this assessment was done 2 years ago, that funding required would already be outdated. And that's why I'm asking this question. Because we obviously don't include for escalation. And then we end up with a problem where we embark on the rectification and we don't have enough funds. So that's important for me. But then one of my colleagues raised the question about the old contractor, the promise made by the minister that he was going to go after them. We hear nothing about this, where practically every single one of these projects today, every single one of the units that was in the project is under rectification. So there's not a single house that was done correctly. Now, there were contractors that were paid good money. So what has happened to them? There should have been retention. Are there retentions? Have we got it back? So it's very general questions related to this. But I think more importantly, and in light of what the chair and others have said, we've had a so-called high-profile team in this province. This particular department was under administration. We were assured when we interacted with them that they're putting processes in place and they're closing up the gaps. But from what you're telling us on those two projects where the new contractor has already been fired again, it would appear that there's no processes in place to actually prevent the same thing from happening. Now, and then lastly, are we in effect, and I'm talking about the both the province and the national department, is anybody, both past and present, is anybody actually being held accountable? Is there anybody responsible? Again, some of my colleagues touched on this. It's business as usual. Do what you want to. Let a million rents worth of material just disappear. Is anybody in terms of this being held responsible? And then lastly, Chair, to the two projects where it says there's no information from the province regarding the estimate for completion. I thought that part of the assessment is also to give an idea of what it would cost to repair. Now, we go up and we pay up to 2.6 million rand for an assessment, and then we could not obtain the information about how much it's going to cost to do it. So what are we paying 2.6 million rand for? I mean, this is if it wasn't so serious, it would actually be funny.
Chair, yes, I'm now right at the end of the line.
I've left something.
And actually, you have it. But anyway, look, I think we're in a very serious situation. And whilst we might sort of laugh, I think we shouldn't be sleeping very well at night. Just to perhaps go from where my colleague here was, to say also, I mean, about the assessments, what I find really interesting, and this all gets down to our planning again, which is really up the creek. I could use a stronger word than that. But we haven't got sort of money allocated against what it needs to complete the project, but we've got a complete date. We say June 2012, we will be copied. How are you going to be? Where's the money going to come from? How's it been budgeted for? And you know, that's in a couple of instances. And, Chairperson, I want to say perhaps just as a contribution that I would like to make, I think whether this is right or wrong, and it seems to be full of flaws, this report that we've got before us today, but this is the kind of thing that we as a committee need, an accurate report, not a thing that's got all inaccuracies, so that we actually can monitor the numbers and the progress, which is what you referred to, DG, in your project management thing. Now, I want to say, I put in a question to the minister about rectification and what still needed to be done and whether there'd been an audit done. The Eastern Cape, Number of units still to be rectified, 30,320, according to what I've got here. Today, and I know your brief was specific because we were doing follow-up work, but I'm totaling about 4,407 in what we have got here. And I think it would be useful if the department undertook an exercise so that we could begin to properly monitor an exercise like this in a correct form of all 30,000 of these in the Eastern Cape that still need to be rectified, so that we can tie it back to an amount, that figure that is sitting here. And I think then we as a committee will begin to exercise a proper oversight over what is going on here, and it's critical.
Thank you. I think the MEC, whilst we were in the Eastern Cape, she was not happy about the presence of the intervention team. If you can read our report, she even mentioned that 2009 was the last year for the team to be there, because they thought that no bangazimela ngenqayilangi. It's written in black and white. Were they meaning this? Let me check. Buffalo City, you are saying that project status quo has been done and developer has been appointed and established contractor to complete the job. My question, when was this? When was this done? When can we expect, because the contractor and the developer has been appointed, when can we expect the job to be started? What is going on? Have you provided temporary toilets there? Are they still knocking at neighbors' houses requesting ablution services or ablution support? Coming to Ikenton C, Nayochi Asi, Fakota again, South Gate, and Sama Sel, Sisu, this is the Alfred Inzo. I am equal. Ten doesn't get. DG, MEC have written a letter, because Matatiele is my constituency, Alfred Inzo is my constituency as a whole, but my focus was in 306 units. They say, by the time we were there, members, if you remember, there was a contractor on site, and we were informed that that contractor was doing rectification. And we queried it to say, but whenever we asked, what type of rectification is this? And then we were informed that no, they are just correcting the plan. In 2007, the portfolio committee was there, the National Portfolio Committee. And the portfolio committee recommended that those 306 houses should be demolished, because they were querying the quality,
they were querying the plan, the design. It dignity abantu bethu ayayiphandle nje in terms of that. Now we were told that they are correcting the plan. I'm sure it was done because they knew that we are coming. After we have left, they left. They told us they have identified the houses to be rectified. They are saying here no houses to be rectified in this report. They told us that they will bring the temporary structures. Nothing is mentioned, even to all of these houses here. There's nothing that talks to temporal arrangements. And in their report, they have purchased 8,000. Where are those 8,000 temporal units? There are warehouses at 306. As you are, even now, people are complaining. Ziyawa benga paga tabando zindli. Eastern Cape is the end. Ngibalekile abantu ba reporter every day. They are not responding. Namhlanje basifela ne report engathi ukuthi bazawurectify ngamale mabaphume eqokobeni. Sifuna before the end of this week sifumane I report in writing. Ithini into yasematatela, imalini abayibekileyo and bazawuyenza ngala mali. Sifuna ukuyazi. There are houses u-honorable Stain raised indaba ye report ka NHBRC esayifumana sinayo sile committee. It NHBRC has done assessment and he has been costed. Law report up to 2002 houses, as up to 2002. There's 106 houses in Njongweville. Ezingavile ukuthi bona banze assessment ethini kwezo zindlu. There is a house there, umnikazi wayo onetha yonke le viki endifuna esithi kuyanetha. Sifuna ukwazi ukuthi i-Eastern Cape Lake really does it exist as a province? Does it really need to be a province? Because we have to take a decision. This report sifuna uyise kuministry njengoba nje le. And then you give us into any decide ngayo no minister. We cannot accept le yenzeke e-Eastern Cape. That is not the only area that's thetha ngazo, whoever ama members. Abayasekstrom ndandipha ngenyawo zabo nenkwanta municipality ihlazo. Kodwa sifumane i-report enje. This report iyachafisa. Xa bekuye i-portfolio committee sibe safumane i-report enje, ipalamente ke le xa bengenawurespekta ipalamente nizawurespekta bani? You are there because of this parliament. Who else needs some respect? I just want to ask you. So that you see a blunt. I ain't gonna respect the parliament. Who's going to need our respect? Abani. This next time, after funa lama report, bring the MEC here because this is certain the first government alone. Onga na powers. I'm sure Ghana has powers. Kutwende kijima wena ambu wachalwa nji. Na use mkoko zwe ni mkoko yena. Gendwe, use mkoko zwe. He is not even an HOD. Ay, ye gele. But, sifunu mdo accountable kwa beza. Sifunu mdo accountable. And mdo accountable, accounting authority, MEC. We want these MECs, yeah. Ay, parliament. I parliament my daughter. Are you crying your foot? This is the National Assembly and the NCOP. There's one parliament in South Africa. If they cannot respect the parliament, I let report this from the second minister. We cannot accept this report. That's all.
I support you, Chair. Just to add and DG,
I know that we are in for something, we will be part of it. So my suggestion again, if you can get a chance, if maybe before the 18th of November, we can meet you with the MEC and also with the people from this game, be bad. Otherwise, we can't ask any questions now to you because you are not bad. The message is that maybe let's rearrange that. You come back to us with a report which is better than this one. Together with the head of the department from Israel, I know that there was a situation, but she should know more there.
It's a person. Mina ngibona ngathi we are faced with a disaster in Eastern Cape. Mina, I would suggest ukuthi in national department to take over from this province. Kungakalahleki imali eningi yethu le basteksa yona ingakalahleki. Ngiyabonga.
Chairperson, I think we also need a report from the intervention team that was there. What is it that they've done? What's the problem? I think we also need a report direct from the intervention team. Thank you.
No, I think we have expressed our real disappointment on some of the areas. There's some good work here and there, some disappointment, broadly speaking. I just get that, Chair, we will direct a general at a certain point, come before the committee just to assist us, 1.3 billion rand. How much is spent in KZN? How much is targeting Western Cape? Everything. In a much more systematic way. Because we are dealing with something that is tangible. I think that is unfortunate with you. It's a tangible thing. Therefore, if you talk about 50,000 houses, that tangible thing that we can count. Therefore, we'll know exactly out of 1.3 billion rand, how much is set aside for Gauteng and how many units in Gauteng, in the Northern Cape, how many units. And because if you are not careful, we are going to rectify the very same building that we are rectifying today. I think Mr. Wise, we are dealing with this thing better than ourselves. I think you know it better. We are going to be rectified. It seems now in the Eastern Cape anyway, there's a rectification on top of another rectification. I guess that we are going to spend a lot of money. And then if you are target really have to meet, I think it will be going to take us many, many years. I think the minister, I told the minister, will take us about many hundreds of years really to meet our target. If we work the winner. Because in fact, some of these houses now that's supposed to have costed us 30,000 rand, now they're almost 700,000 rand because a lot of cost on this matter. And then also busy material got stolen anyway from time to time. I just guess that as a principal director general, the point that I want to emphasize always, I think I always emphasize is just when the members or staff appear before committees of parliament, I think they must really respect committees of parliament as a basic principle. As a basic principle, but also they must also assist us to deal with some of the challenges that I think we are facing seriously. Because if we are not doing this thing with diligence, it will be very difficult for members of parliament. Because we have to support their budget. As members of parliament here, we have to support the budget. In fact, it's unlucky because the budget that they are supporting is the budget that will deal with all provinces, even municipalities. Therefore, we are the committee that is a little bit specific because it's a national issue. We support the budget nationally, and the budget gets then distributed to all provinces. But really, if you expect us to support a budget with no information that assists us to ensure that when we ask you even about this 1.3 billion, even now as I'm here, I can't tell you exactly what is happening. It's very clear that it's in Cape Town. There are problems. Some of them are Mediterranean problems. But I just guess that, Chair, if we can be able to meet with the first, the minister, Chair, the MEC, but also a proposed chair and your counterpart, and then the chairperson of a portfolio committee in the Eastern Cape. It's just important that we meet with them and have real discussions. So wherever we meet is fine. So we have a discussion there are some of those issues, because the likelihood chair to spend all this $1 billion on the Eastern Cape for something that ourselves we can't even show, I think it's there. Because we do have experience in this matter. I agree with that. The intervention team also must assist us, the Director General, to say what is their overall assessment of the situation there, and what they would want to assist the Eastern Cape, because I just get that Eastern Cape is part of our country anyway, General. We do have responsibility as a committee to uphold, because you approve the budget, Chair. The fact that you approve the budget, meaning that ourselves, really, we should be much more jealous regarding against the wastage of our own money, because we're the one who approves the budget. Therefore, I think it's very critical. If we can be assisted on those areas, Chair, and then possible, because maybe the year is ending early next year, I think Eastern Cape should be our focus. Possible also the Director General will assist us with about many other provinces. Maybe this province in the Eastern Cape, maybe they have multiplied in other areas, I don't know. But some of the areas that we visited, of course, Eastern Cape was a classical example of real problems. Because some of the units, really, if you see 1,110 units, and all of them, with no exception, they must be ratified. And then I can tell you, I'm not sure how much we pay that contractor. It won't be less than 20, 30 million rand, maybe, I don't know. And then we have to ratify it again. And the likelihood again to come back after 5 years to ratify it again is very hard. Unless, Director General, we are really addressing the question of the capacity or this project issue that we are raising. And I think it's in that one issue that we should really engage on this issue faster. If you need some assistance from in terms of the policymakers here to take a decision, I think it's very important that we did that, because the likelihood really to spend this 1.3 billion rand, and again, I think 5 years down the line, the minister comes back, requests another 4 billion rand, we'll never meet our target. And then the whole issue of getting rid of all the informal settlement, it will never be met if we are doing this way. And I just can say that the team from the Eastern Cape, I think they've tried to provide information, but I think they can really try to be a little bit detailed on some of this information. Because some of the areas, it seems to me, was a dumb sack, because you can say by 2012 they are finalizing this issue, are finishing, but you don't even know how many units. You don't even know the scale of the damage. And then, but we have already concluded. And I suspect, anyway, where there's no information about money is because the cost is too high. And then the administration are very clever human beings, too. When the cost is very high, they will simply hide this thing completely. There's nowhere that they don't know how much we are going to pay. But they know in other places, but there are areas where they think themselves, it's so embarrassing that they should hide it from us. And I think the Director General will work on this matter, because really, it's a very sad story if we allow this thing to happen from year to year, and then we enable ourselves at the national level to intervene strategically and ensure that we push this thing really for delivery of service to our people. Because poor people anyway who suffer from this thing really. And I guess those who got money, they don't worry so much about government generally. Rich people don't worry about government. That's why government generally assists those who are very poor. And because rich people anyway can buy this thing and buy their houses and then rectify their problems and move on. But really the poor in our society, they suffer a lot when there's corruption in the society. That's why we are fighting against corruption precisely because of that. That victims of the corruption are very poor people. A contract is appointed within 2 months. I'm not sure what are the criteria to appoint these contractors. Because there should be some form of some criteria really that you use to appoint a contractor. Some of two of them now, two projects here, I think it's the same contractor, appointed for A, appointed for B. Within 2 months, I think it's paid anyway. Otherwise, you'll sue the government again. I think it's a sad story. I think the point that you are raising, and then I think that in general, you know that you also are not new in these problems anyway. We have been in Sunduzi, you know very well the problem and challenge. But I do think that this committee, because we are an anchor committee, many other committees really are filter committee to this committee in terms of the overall plan. But also, we are a community that many problems that causes a lot of protest are from this area. Therefore, I think that there are issues that we should take very seriously, and we hope the general your commitment will really assist us a lot to ensure that we work on this area. We got no interest to fight with any department in the Eastern Cape. We like them, but they must do their work. And I think the MEC share really sooner than yesterday we must sit down with them, because we have to set up some program ourselves to work with them at a cultural level to see what we can do. Thank you, Chair. I think the little bit not courage. I think we started with Eastern Cape. Hopefully we end up with a very well doing project in Limpopo. Because I think very depressing the energy thing happened. How do you think it will be depressing here and there? People hijacking buildings. Let alone that people are hijacking mines, and it really is a bigger problem.
Chairperson, I just want to say that with the money bills now, Parliament has a much bigger responsibility towards the budget and how money gets spent and so on. And so I actually want to perhaps disagree a little bit with what Honourable Indrakani says, that we have to pass the budget. We do not have to pass the budget. And we don't want to just be... Money is a scarce resource, and you know, if we don't know how to spend it properly and be responsible, well then the money must go somewhere else. And yet this is the one area that is top of the president's list coming in, you know, with problems, his call center. So I think whilst we want to say it strongly enough that we're going to come to the budget again shortly, within a few months. And we hung very close to that in the last budget because we couldn't tie the money up with what was being projected. So I think we need to be, your department, DG, and you as the head, will need to ensure that we have the facts properly before us, so that when we do approve the budget, we feel confident that the money is being spent wisely and it's desperately needed out there. That we know. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. This, when we are doing an oversight, there was a cry that the monitoring, there were no inspectors to check whether these houses are being built in the right. For your information now, the very HPS, they are outsourced the inspectors now. There are more information we can sit down. Then comes the question, why are we paying maybe we need a day and check exactly what are we doing with NHPRC. Thanks, sir.
I think to assist you, we asked the question if NHPRC has the capacity to manage this. You are going to look at that. Do they have the capacity? Because their payment, you know, is out of question. Because they are paid as a result of enrollment. If they are not enrollment, they don't get paid. But do they have the capacity? If they don't have the capacity, what are you doing as the national department? Because those people are responsible, they are accountable to you. Then I think the issue of fish has gone. We're not playing games here. The fish has gone. We were there, up a band, Masua and Sam, DG. There is a graveyard on top of them. When there is rain, you know Eastern Cape is flooding. All those that stuff comes down to them. Umhlaba has been purchased in 2002. Today they are saying, but comply. Fine. When was this compilation compliance done?
Are we performing well?
at this stage, I can't give you positive results. I can only tell you the latest information that we are not doing well. Now, once we've completed that again, I would like to bring it to the committee so that you also get a better picture. We can't wait until the end of the financial year and start motivating for all of us. You must get that sense. So there is that concern. The challenge here is the one that you asked us to work on in the last meeting when we're presenting our annual report, that the issue of powers and functions for provinces and the national and the concurrent function remains a critical issue. Because at times we accept the responsibility as national, but we don't implement. We play more or less a monitoring supporting role as well at national level. The information that we get, we also get it from the province. At times even to verify the data of that information becomes a challenge, because once you have it, it's coming from them. We have requested, for example, I'll make a classic example, Chair, so that we get a perspective around our challenges as well at national level. The first thing that we did was to ask a project list, because we have received the business plans, we have received the funding, we dispersed the funding to provinces to implement. We then said before, because I committed to this committee, that would like to visit these provinces and see these projects. So we had to ask all provinces, give us a project list of what you're doing. To date, four provinces have not responded. One of those provinces is the one that you're complaining about, Eastern Cape. Now, how do you begin to do even that kind of physical monitoring when you don't have that information at your disposal? And we don't have a mechanism to demand that information. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've sent that twice now. I've even now sent it to the MECs to say we need this, because this is what I'm going to use first to verify what we have received as business plan for this financial year. So that you see that what money you disperse, because I signed for these monies as I disperse them, but I want to make sure the money is sent to do what is intended to do. One province has done an overspending in the midterm. I need to make sure that what has been budgeted for, the money is used for that as we do midterm review. Same province as well, not the one I've referred to, has not submitted the business plan. So you can then verify if the overspending is on a project that they should be doing up to this point in time, or it can have been used for other things not meant for that. So I'm trying to say the concurrent function becomes challenged when you want to manage performance as per the monies that we disperse at national level. So these are some of the challenges that, Chair, again, at a political policy level, needs to be seriously looked at, because it doesn't help us. I've sent different communiques to different SODs. There's nothing more you can do. In other words, there's no punitive measure that you can now put in place. You can only do it at a departmental level with my team. But outside that, you rely on the information that you request. There isn't anything. So I think your approach of beginning to say, let the MECs come and also account equally as we do as officials to you, I think it's a good one, because it then puts another mechanism that you can use to make sure that you gather even the information that at times we struggle. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. It's our responsibility. The money comes to us. We disperse it. We must have a monitoring system ourselves as national department in terms of the money, that we must follow where the money goes. But at times, with the current arrangement, we do have limitations in getting that information. Okay. I just felt I should make that comment.
I wish you can get a copy of our report at this portfolio committee. We have mentioned something about that. I think the minister must get this report, because we're also going to assist him as a political leader of this department. However, people are not going to hide themselves. The president, if people cannot listen to the president, powers and don't. Those powers, they can be retrieved any time. They must not abuse their powers. And this parliament is going to retrieve them, I'm telling you. If you can take our recommendations to parliament, and I think we are going to recommend to the National Treasurer Nayego, I implement the legislation, the regulations, because we cannot keep on nigga mali, I'm not going to no.
Kapo singangeni khona ukukhanda yanga ndikunika imali yami uzonxela ukuthi andingendawo ngemali yami. You can't. Because that money is for the parliament. If bahle lapho litshoni lilanga, I'm telling you. And unfortunately for them, bonke, they are accountable to president. Unfortunately for them. That is why it is for the minister. It's taken the minister straight. Siye sithi makayeke ukutatazela amamela abantu ngepowers. Because njengoba sayine i-Tefman's agreement no president, kuzawufuneka athi phula athi sop naye aphushe ngendlela aphusha ngayo. If it means it's breaking the law, fine. Let it be that. But this committee is prepared to assist. We have got a good recommendation to Parliament, which we have to follow it up out of these reports we are receiving from the department. We thank you very much, DJ.